Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, dude, it's been, what, 4 or 5 years since we've been doing this podcast, and we finally have our first playoff podcast. It's been, what, 6 years since the Giants have been in the playoffs. Giants Nation is going crazy right now. They came out with the video, the hype video, Our Way, yesterday. I mean, if you watched that and didn't get psyched, you're dead inside. The enthusiasm in Giants world right now is palpable. It's awesome. It's a great feeling. I cannot wait to see this game Sunday, to watch this game, and could not be happier with how this year's obviously transpired, dude. But we are finally here, and we got who we wanted again, the Minnesota Vikings, bud.
Yep. Yeah, I think everybody's excited, man. The Giants feel confident. You could just feel it in the locker room. These guys feel like they're going to go in there and take care of business. They're not intimidated by the first playoff game for many of these guys, especially Daniel. And the way they, you know, I've been telling you this, man. You know, the feeling is that we could go into anywhere and win a game. That's what Dable has them believing. And they do believe it. And, you know, Dable's trying to level it off this week as just a regular season game and keep it like a regular Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice and all that. But obviously it's not. And Dable knows that too, you know. But these guys are... That's all you hear them talking about. Okay, well, we're just going to do our work this week, and you know, we'll be ready to go for Sunday and all that. But there's no question. There's a confidence in this locker room that they could go in this game and beat these guys and get out of there and go into the divisional playoffs. There's not a doubt in my mind. Now, whether or not they execute and that happens, that we'll find out starting 4:40, so Sunday afternoon. But there's none. Look, there's none of that. Oh, we're playing with house money type feel. Oh, we're happy to be here. Nobody picked us, you know, to be here. So, well, let's go have some fun. Whatever happens, happens. No. You know, the Giants have, they have the confidence, man. They have the feeling of, well, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, that's nice. They won 13 games. And, well, we won 9. We deserve to be here. We're not playing with any house money. The spread's only 3. So what does that tell you? Vegas thinks this is going to be real close.
Home field, okay. That's it.
Yeah, you know, and the players are like, yeah, that's nice. They got 13 wins, but we should have beat them last time. They didn't say this, but you could just get the feeling. Yeah, we should have beat them last. We should have beat them last time, and we're gonna beat them this time. You know, you could just sense it, man. I was talking to some guys yesterday, and the feeling is, you know, we let one get away, and we have a very good chance of getting out of able to win Sunday. So there's none of this like, oh, well, you know what? Nobody predicted the Giants to go to the playoffs, so let's have some fun. You know, whatever happens, happens. And hey, if we lose 35-7, eh, it's still a great year. No, these guys want to keep playing, man. They feel they could be playing, you know, deep into January, man. And it starts Sunday, you know. It's going to be a different story Sunday. You know, both teams are going to do different things, no question about it. But it's going to be fun to watch, man, especially, you know, if the Giants getting some pieces back. And the Vikings are... They're going to be missing some pieces, key pieces, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out, man.
Yeah, you know, obviously, playing them before and losing the turnover battle and still almost winning that game and just the missed opportunities, that obviously helps. And how they played down the stretch, too. I mean, I know last week's game meant nothing, but they gave the Eagles all they could handle. Yeah. They beat the hell out of the Colts. Beat the Commanders and played well against the Vikings. So it's these last four games, and then with guys coming back, like you said, you know, Ojulari looks like, it sounds like he's coming back. I would, you know, based on everything you see, and you could tell it better than I could, but Adoree Jackson probably back this week. So the reinforcements that weren't there last time, or, you know, like McKinney is another one, are going to play this time. And dude, like we said, man, you look at the Vikings, 13 wins, but negative points, right? Negative in the, on the point side, if you add them up all year long. This is really a great opponent for the Giants to be playing in their first game. And I think the house money thing would have meant more if it was like a, would have been more of a narrative if it was like a 7-win Giants team. I really do. Like, if the Giants were 7-10 right. and they snuck into right. the playoffs, it's like, all right, you're playing with house money. But the way the Giants have played this year, where they've been in almost every game, right? Almost every game, other than really the Eagle game and maybe that second Dallas game. They've been in every game, so they should not feel that way. And I love that, that that's the sense that you get from the locker room as well, dude, that, you know, they belong here, and why not us, right? Like, why not perform the way they think they can?
Yeah, and they have a head coach that has them believing it. They also have a head coach that these players feel, and the coaching staff, I should not just Dable, but Kafka and Wink, that these players feel that the game plan they come up with will be good enough to defeat their opponent.
Yeah.
They're not going to get out-coached. You know, now you might get out-executed. You might have a few turnovers, stuff like that. But this, these plays feel, well, guess what? With the, when we walk through the door Wednesday and we get the game plan, it's going to be a great game plan. And we're not going to get out-coached. And that's big, dude. I mean, that is big in this league because there's so many teams, trust me, that they come through the door Wednesday and their coaching staff gives them the game plan and half the team's like, yeah, okay, that's nice. You know, like, yeah, okay, that's going to work, right? You know, okay, yeah. You know. But these guys, they've proven it. Wink has proven it over the years. He's proven it this year in so many circumstances. Dable, Kafka, they've proven it. You know, yeah. Is there a game this season, a game this season, where you said, wow, these guys, they were really outcoached today, you know?
Not one.
Think about it. Not one.
Not one single game, Chris.
Not one. I mean, you know, I remember games where we did with Judge and Sherman, and we did the podcast the following Monday, and we were like, dude, they were just out coached yesterday, man. You know, remember, Jerry, there were so many times we were like, man, you know, Judge got schooled, or Sherman got schooled today, yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't say that one time. Now we've obviously questioned some things, like, well, you know, I kind of thought they'd do this different, maybe that. But as far as, game planning, where the defense or the offense looked like they were totally overmatched as far as, why would you do that? And, you know, they look like they were totally out-coached. And if you look at people around the league, too, that cover the sport on social media or, you know, sports radio, when did you ever hear anybody during the course of the season say, hey, that was the first time Dable looked like a rookie coach. He was really outclassed yesterday. Think about it.
Yeah.
I don't think one time.
Not one. And with Shermer, it was, why did you wait till halftime for the adjustments? And with Judge, it was, if he went against a Kingsbury or someone like that, he was outcoached, right? That was more like matchups. With Dable, we've never said it once. Like you said, there are a couple times where you're like, well, maybe you should have done this. But, dude, not in any of their seven losses or the tie did you walk away saying, yeah, they lost because they were outcoached by the other coaching staff. Not once, dude. And that's how it should be. And that's why you have a chance every week. It's why this team has a chance every single week, no matter who they go against.
Right. Because these guys are preparing them. You know, these guys know that what the game plan they come up with is going to be a winning, well, you know, was hoping to be a winning game plan. They have confidence going into the game that the game plan is going to make them, you know, is going to get a win for them. You know, that's huge with NFL players, man. When they have that confidence, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they have that confidence that what these guys want us to do, and if we execute it, there's a very good chance we can win this game. You know, and you saw that against the Vikings the last time where they came out and they were throwing the ball. You know, and I specifically remember Nick Gates telling me before that Viking game, which was know, about three weeks ago now, whatever it was, you know, and he said, hey, I was like, how do you feel, Nick, you know, this week about, you know, Vikings? And he's like, Chris, where do you see this game plan? We're really confident in this game plan. And he's told me that a few times during the year. Yeah. Daniel Jones, I remember how confident he was. I remember talking to Daniel for a few seconds over by his locker. And of course, it's like pulling teeth getting anything out of Daniel. Right. But I remember saying, Daniel, you know, yeah, how do you feel? You know, and he just looked at him and he's like, we're really confident, you know, what the coach has presented to us, game plan wise. You know, and the way he said it, I was like, oh, these guys, they're really confident going into this game. They, you could just feel, when you talk to these guys, you could just feel like, oh, yeah, you know, we're really confident in this game plan. They've said that numerous times to me, man. Numerous times during the course of the season. So that's the faith they have in guys like Kafka, Dable, Wink, Thomas McGahee, although, you know, at times that hasn't been the best. Yeah, but that's the way you talk, you know, you're feeling yesterday. Yesterday we were in the locker room. The team was presented the game plan, you know, and they started installing it. That's what they do on Wednesdays. And you could just see, man, you talked, I was talking to Jihadi Ward and talking to a few guys and Leo Williams, I was talking to Dex. And they just have that feeling like, we're real confident going into this game. And not like Jerry, not like disrespecting the Vikings, like, oh, these guys aren't that good. It's just they feel confident they could go into Minnesota and get a win, you know, and.
Yeah, you mentioned that with Gates on the Vikings podcast before, that he said to you that he felt confident with it. You put out a tweet yesterday, and I want to expand on it just because or give an opinion because not everybody can, you know, sees every tweet. But you put one out there yesterday, and I was going to ask you this anyway. Where does do you think experience plays a factor in these playoff games at all, dude?
Look, Dable made a point of saying no, it doesn't. It's overrated. I think Dable didn't, I don't know if you 100% agree with that, okay? I think Dable's kind of, you know, just saying that for his younger guys and all that. Would you like experience? Because Dable quickly pointed out, too, because we had a quarterback in 2001 that had no experience, you know? And that was Tom Brady. Right. So he believes Dable. Look, not that he's blowing smoke, but Dable believes in, hey, don't worry about experience. When you're prepared, execute the game plan, you'll be fine. You know, and talking to guys, you know, it's not so much the experience. Like, I was talking to a few veterans yesterday. Feliciano was one guy I was talking to yesterday. And I said to John, you know, have you talking to you guys that have been through these playoff games, have you talking to these rookies and younger guys? He goes, not really. He goes, not really. And he wasn't the only one. I said, oh, how come? You know, and he goes, because I'll tell you why. He goes, first hit, the first time you get hit, first play. First contact, whatever, he goes, it's a regular game. He goes, you know, he goes, now, what some guys told me is that the speed, which we all know, which, you know, he goes, the speed of the game is a little fast. And that's something Dable, veteran players have emphasized to the younger guys that, hey, look, get ready because the speed of the game is going to be a little quick. You know, it's going to be a little quicker out there because it's the playoffs. The intensity-wise, well, as soon as that first contact, that first tackle, you're right back to, okay, it's a regular football game. You know, of course it's going to be intense. Like most Sunday afternoon games are intense. Sure. It's going to be a little bit more, but you're right back in sync. You know, you might be a little nervous. And, you know, Daniel, so I just want to bring up something. When they played the Colts, right, that first series against the Colts, Daniel almost throws that pick, okay?
Yep.
If I remember right, I think it was Zaire Franklin. He threw it right in his hands, and he should have been picked. It should have been picked. So Daniel did say yesterday, yeah, look, he's a little nervous. You know, there's been some times I've had a little nervousness, and I quickly settled down, you know. And he kind of admitted that, and immediately, I thought about the Colts game. I said, oh, maybe he was a tad bit. Because remember we were wondering, Jerry, hey, look, he looked like he might have been a little tight there. He threw that ball, right? Franklin should have picked it off. And then right after that, he settled down, and he was fine. Remember, he ran the offense the second series. They scored, boom, boom, and the game was over, right?
Chris, to your credit, there were times in the past where you said it, too. I remember last year against Dallas. You're like, when he's jacked up, he's a little high with his throws, and he's a little off, and it's almost like he's too excited. So go ahead.
Yeah. So he kind of admitted that yesterday. So he said, he goes, listen, you know, a lot of guys, you know, we're going to be – you might be a little nervous, playoff game goes, but you know, it's my job to settle that down and overcome that and execute the game plan, you know. So it was pretty funny, though, because we were wondering that against the Colts, and I think we kind of got the answer to it. So maybe he was just a bit tight, and he cut that ball loose. So we didn't even quite see Franklin sliding over there, reading his eyes. You know, that happens at times when you're not, you know, when you're a little tight. You know, so you got to watch for that, too. You know, it's just Daniel's first playoff game. You don't want that. You know, the Giants were fortunate against the Colts, although they would have won that game anyway, but I'm still.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want that in a playoff game, though. You don't want to come out the first series and kind of throw a little bit nerve, and they throw that pick because that could turn a game around quick. This is the playoffs. One or two plays could be the difference in a playoff game. You know, but we'll have to look for that. But Daniel did talk about that. Because, look, it's a lot of these guys, first, including Dexter Lawrence's, Leo Williams, you know, Xavier McKinney's. There's so many. Andrew Thomas. Obviously, the rookies, you know. This is their first rodeo, bro, you know, in a playoff game. So, but most of them said, hey, when you get that first contact, that first hit, that first block, it's right back to football.
You brought him up, so I'll ask you. Dexter Lawrence, well-deserved All-Pro nomination, huh? I mean, I know I saw you spoke to Feliciano yesterday, but you've been saying it all year, and that's the one, like you always say, that's the one that matters, right? It's not a popularity contest. It's it's not a popularity contest like the Pro Bowl is. It's this is voted on by your peers. I just wanted to get your thoughts. Like, did you feel there were any snubs with the Giants? Maybe Andrew Thomas, or were you expecting Dexter Lawrence?
Well, this was the players All Pro team. This is not the official All Pro team. This was the first inaugural players All Pro, which is very important to my eyes, bro.
Yeah.
Because this is what you're voted by, the guys you play against, you know?
Yep.
So, hey, I thought that was huge. I thought that was huge. That's like centers around the league when they get the ballot. Okay, you know, that freaking Dexter Lawrence was over me the whole game. And, you know, so that was look, I expected Trent Williams. What are you talking about, Andrew Thomas? No, I didn't expect Andrew Thomas to be voted in by the players. I think he was voted third team or something like that, whatever it was. But Trent Williams, I expected. You know, Trent Williams is a rock over there, man. He's been doing it forever. He's had a great year. Watching him all year, man, that dude is just, you know, he's... So that didn't surprise me. But Dexter Lawrence, I was happy for. I thought it was deserved. You know, and guess what? You know, so did his peers, man. So the guys he plays against, they said, yo, this guy deserves it, man. So it's great for him, man. And it was like that nose tackle position, too.
Right. Which and even Aaron Rodgers said it after the game in London. He's like, yeah, number 97 over there is the best in the league. Like, we had some comment like that. Like, that number 97 is incredible. So, to hear it from even an Aaron Rodgers is, I can't imagine. So
I think I might have told you the story. If not, or remind me if I did. But, you know, Andre Patterson, defensive line coach, told me when he first met Dex in the OTAs, he told him, he goes, hey, you're going to be over to zero. You know, you're going to be the nose tackle, you know. And Dex was like, what? And he goes, you're going to be the nose tackle here.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing over that center for the majority of the game. That's going to be what you're going to be doing here. And Dex's like, okay, you know, sounds good. He goes, we're going to work on some things. He goes, if you listen to me, you're going to be a pro baller. Well, Andre Patterson, you might as well call him a prophet because Dexter listened to him. They tweaked some things, especially with his arm extension. Because Dexter was doing so many things wrong, according to Andre Patterson. And Andre was actually a little surprised that nobody's really even spotted this over his first 3 years, but I'm not going to get into that. made him the nose tackle, played him over that zero, and boom, voted all pro by the other players in the league. So quite an accomplishment for Dexter Lawrence, man. He's had that type of year.
It's going to be, what'd you say, a rich young man very soon, Dexter Lawrence. It's going to be a few Giants are going to be rich very soon. It's can't get over that. Like a couple years ago, we were like, oh my God, anybody getting a second contract? Now it's, hopefully we can keep all these guys. I was going to ask
quickly,
you also about
Jerry, just quickly, you know, you talk about coaching in this league. Like, say the Giants didn't bring over Andre Patterson from the Vikings and they had the guy they hired, whoever Dable hires, the defensive line coach. And they have him playing that three technique a lot. And he's just, you know, having a pretty good year like he basically did the first 3 years. He was pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
You say to yourself, well, Dex probably won't get that second contract. You know, Leo's here a couple more years. He's paid. Leo's going to be making a lot of money. You're not paying two guys. And now you look at coaching. They spot something with Dex or what they feel they could do with him. It's executed incredibly. When Andre Patterson was talking to me about with Dexter Lawrence, it was incredible, and Dex did it exactly what the way Andre Patterson wanted him to do this year. And now he's going to be a rich dude. Now he's going to get a second contract with the Giants, and he's going to be a very rich dude. You know, Leo Williams thing is going to have to be worked out down the road. I don't know what's going to happen. You're not going to be paying two guys.
Right.
You know, one guy $20-30 million, another guy $22 million. That ain't happening. So, you know, but Dex is coming back at a fifth-year option next year, and then they'll work that out. But I don't think Dex is going anywhere. He's one of the guys you build around.
And it just makes the Odell trade that much better, right? This was one of the picks that they got for Odell. You know, it was Shane Zimenez was the other, and then obviously Peppers, who's gone now. But you're looking, Dexter Lawrence is becoming the kind of player that if you did that trade straight up now, it's like, well, that's a pretty, that works out for both sides. So couldn't be happier with what Dexter Lawrence has turned into. And admittedly, I was not psyched about that pick when it happened. Montez Sweat was sitting there. Again, there's a reason why I'm not an NFL GM, because this kid is working out beautifully.
Sure. Yeah. Jerry, but dude, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, the first 3 years,
yeah,
Montez Sweat, he's an edge guy getting his sacks.
Yeah.
We had a big defensive lineman that was good against the run, pressured the pocket a little bit.
Right.
That changed this season.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, there's no reason to say, oh, you know what, I was totally wrong in that. Yeah, I'm glad we got that. You know, we should have took it. Because no way. I was the first one, too. Like, what the hell? I mean, he's not a 19th overall pick. But he's developed into a 19th overall pick now.
Yep.
You know, and just, one of those priority positions now, the game is changing, right? It was always quarterback, left tackle, corner, right? Mm-hmm. And what am I missing?
Edge.
Edge, right? It was always quarterback, edge, left tackle, and cornerback.
Right.
Well, the game is evolving, man. Now that defensive lineman, the Chris Joneses, the Aaron Donalds, the guys that can play those three technique and zero technique and push that pocket and get to the quarterback and push in the middle of the pocket, those guys are getting paid now, bro.
Fletcher Cox, yep.
He's older those now, guys, but, yeah. I mean, Chris Jones and Aaron Donalds, and I'm not putting Dex in their class. He's not in their class.
Yeah.
But he's the next level now.
Yeah.
And that's the $20 million plus level now.
Yeah.
Those guys are getting paid. Okay? Because of what they do, man. Because when a quarterback can't step up, it's a different story, man.
Totally.
So, yep. You know, it's always be edge, you know, corner. But now you have to mix in that defensive lineman, that 0-3 tech guy like Chris Jones does, and that could get to the quarterback and push the middle of that pocket, man, and pressure. Those guys are getting big bucks, man. That's why Dex is going to get big bucks, man. He's going to get big bucks.
Yep. All right, guys, we're going to take a break and be right back with the John Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And we're back. Folks, you're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the biz. Biz Ignano. So you mentioned corner as well. I got to ask you, I'm not putting on your spot, but what's your take on Adoree Jackson this week? What's your feel?
Look, Jerry.
I'm not asking you to be a prophet here, dude. I just...
No. Gut. You know, yeah. I felt he was going to play. We'll see. My gut is he gives it a go. McKinney kind of... I'm hoping McKinney slipped yesterday by saying he's going to be playing.
Yeah.
You know, because Adoree was at his locker saying, well, I'm hoping he's just playing a little possum, you know. Right? But he was at his locker saying, you know, I'm not going to go out there if it's not 100%. I'm trying to get to that point and this and that. So sitting there listening to Adoree, you say it's 50-50, you know. Now, is he playing a little possum this week? Possibly. Yeah. Did McKinney give it away? Maybe, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see, you know, we'll see, but it's going to be, I guess it'll be, you know, he'll be, he's been doubtful the last few weeks. Obviously, if he's doubtful, he's not playing. I expect him to be questionable and I expect him to be a game time. And my gut feeling, yeah, he plays, but I've been wrong with this the last few weeks. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, dude, Adoree Jackson, look, he's good. He's not Sauce Gardner good. Right. And 80% Adoree or a fully healthy Nick McLeod. I don't know, Chris. I don't think that's cut and dry. I think that's a bit of a toss-up. Or fully healthy Fabian Moreau, could an 80% Adoree Jackson, who hasn't played in a lot of weeks. Look, I maybe he's 100%, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't envy that position. That's all I'm saying.
The impression I got from Adoree yesterday was like he's not going out there unless he's 100%.
Okay, cool.
I mean, that was straight from his mouth.
Yeah.
I want to be 100%. So I guess, Jerry, if he plays, the knee is 100%.
Yeah.
You know? He's been out a while. I mean, he's been out way longer than anybody anticipated. Way yes, longer.
Totally. That's what you're know? Concerned with, yeah.
Yeah, when it first happened, I think, what was it, 4-6 or two to four? What, something around
four,
there, right?
It was four to six.
And now he's out. And he's out, what, seven games? What it's been?
Since Detroit, right?
Since the punt return game, right? Detroit?
Yeah.
So that's a while ago.
That's a while ago, dude.
Yeah, it seems like an eternity ago now. But, that's a while ago. So it's definitely been much longer than anticipated. So we'll see. I mean, it's a playoff game. I'm sure he's doing everything he could to get out there, but the way he was talking yesterday, it sounds like, I even talked to a couple other guys, you know, a couple other media guys. I was like, you get any impression that's 50-50? They were like, yeah, I mean, what are you saying? That's the impression I'm getting too. But it could be possum week two because it's the playoffs. McKinney might have slipped, gave it away. We'll see. That's all I can tell everybody, man. We'll see. I cannot give a definitive answer, man. I really can't. Yeah. I wish I could, but I can't.
The on the Vikings side, you put out a tweet, limited, where your boy Harrison Smith and Bradbury, the center. I mean, that plays into the hands of what we were just talking about with Dexter Lawrence. No, like that's, you know, that's that should be a huge advantage for us on the line.
Yeah, I mean, Dexter would be going against a third string center now, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be Chris Reed, unless the Vikings switch some stuff around this week. And they move like Cleveland to center or something like that. But right now, it looks like it's going to be the Chris Reed guy, who's an old Colt, if I remember right. And he played last week at center when he had a man, they're hurting. I mean, that's advantage Leo, advantage Dexter, big time.
Yeah.
And these guys in the interior of the line, Ed Ingram and Cleveland, they have not been very good in pass pro either, man. This is advantage Giants, bro. Big time advantage Giants. It really is. And then you got Brian O'Neill out of right tackle.
Right.
And you got Thibodeau and you got Aziz.
Coming back.
Big time advantage for the Giants. You know, big time advantage. They got four sacks last game. And you expect a lot of pressure this week, man. A lot of pressure. And, you know, when we get into how we see this game going, prediction, Jerry, and this is going to be one of them. I think the Giants are going to get a couple picks this game. I really do. I think they're going to force Cousins to... A one pick, you know, I'm going to, maybe I'll, I hate to say two, but I'm going to go one. They're going to get the one pick. They should have had the one pick last game.
Right.
I think this game, if given the opportunity, I think it's going to be there. I really do.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you know, have that drop by Flat. It wasn't even a drop. You know, Thielen kind of hacked it out of there.
Thielen made a good play.
But he made a good play. But Flat, look, Codell even told me himself, because I got to secure that better. It was a learning moment. And Jerome Henderson even says, what was Jerome Henderson pissed off about that with Cordell Flott? He didn't have his hands out. He teaches these guys, hey, when you see that ball coming, you're a receiver now. Get your hands out. Boom, catch it, bring it back. Don't catch it back here at your body. Because right. now a guy could come in there and whack.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So, look, Cordell's a rookie. He admitted it.
Yeah.
You know, I even teased him. But I said, yeah, but you're so used to the easy ones at LSU. You know, you were back there just waiting for it. You had fun. You ran down the sideline. The fans right. were cheering for you. And he's laughing.
Right.
He goes,
right.
he goes, yeah, you know what? He goes, don't laugh. He goes, you get into some bad habits or some easy picks in college. He goes, up yeah. here. He goes, even the picks, he goes, even the interceptions are hard. He goes, guys, I look at it, rip it out of your hands. I mean, he goes, that's what happened to me. And he admitted it. You know, it was a learning lesson. Like Jerome says, I loved his aggressiveness, but it was a learning lesson. You got to learn how to catch the ball in this league because these guys know how to defend.
Right.
These receivers know how to defend when they know it's going to be a pick. Right. So they go into defense mode right away. Rookies pick that up. They learn that. You know, they don't. Right. Sometimes they learn the hard way, and Cordell learned the hard way. But I think it's going to be there, dude. I think this time around, when that opportunity is there, interception.
And he's played better over the weeks, too. Cordell Flott has turned into this is a guy he can be a little bit, start getting a little bit excited about because he's played well. His coverage has been better. Even against Philly last week, he played well.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, he played opposite like Stingley in college and didn't really know. Admittedly, I didn't know Cordell Flott in college. I was like, okay, he's not Stingley. He's the other guy. But he must have had a lot of opportunities there, and he's turning out to be a pretty decent player. And like we said, just hope he puts on some weight. But this is a nice opportunity for him, and he could maybe do some things for us going forward. The Giants came out last game, dude, firing, right, throwing the ball against this secondary, and it was a smart move. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing, well, they need to ride Saquon Barkley if they're going to have success. I just want to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. Is it a mix of the two? Is it, you know, go to Barkley? Like, do you think you'll see the same game plan as last time just because of how weak their secondary is? Think Kafka says, screw it. We're sticking with this. Their secondary stinks. Yeah. We like what we can do to them. Or is it, you know what? We're going to go with the guy that's kind of carried us throughout this year.
Yeah, that's what's going to be the game within a game. It'd be interesting to see what Kafka does.
Yep.
You know, because they're going to change it up. You know, they're looking at the game film too and saying, okay, we gotta show this look now. You know what? We're not just gonna play Peterson man. We're gonna mix it up with this Hodgins kid.
Yeah.
So look, that's their weakness. It'll be fascinating to see if Dable and Kafka come out with the same attack as for okay, we're gonna put it in Daniel's hands.
Yeah.
And let him throw it around. Or do they come out and say, you know what? We're gonna ride Saquon this game in the first quarter.
Right.
You know, and then go to Pat. You know, look, Jerry, they're going to throw the ball. It would be stupid not to throw the ball against these guys.
Right.
You saw that last game.
Yes.
You've seen it all year.
Agree.
Yep. You've seen it all year against these guys. Now, the question will be, do they mix it up more? Is it a lot more Saquon first series? They start feeding him, and then they start throwing. Second series, you throw the ball first three times. You know, third series, you Saquon, then two screens of Saquon, you know, stuff like that. That's what I kind of expect. I think they'll mix it up more with Saquon, you know, who only had, I believe, 14 rushes the first game against the Vikes. Yeah, I know he wound up at 84. I know he wound up. He had a good second half, you know, the 27-yard. When he wound up with 80,
touchdown, yeah.
He wound up with 84 yards. But if I remember right, the first half he didn't rush. He didn't have many yards. So.
No, he didn't have many carries either. Yeah.
Yes, he didn't have many carries and yards. As we've noted, they threw the ball a lot. You know, so that's going to be very interesting because I would expect Dable and Kafka to say, you know, okay, well, Donatello's going to come up with a whole new game plan here. So let's turn around and run the ball on them, you know?
Right.
Because they're not a team that come up and say, okay, you know, we're going to put 7 in a box.
Right.
And if they do, God bless them, but you're asking for trouble. We're going to put 7 in a box, and we're going to let Daniel beat us. Well, Daniel was beating him last time.
Right, right.
He was.
Yep.
You know?
Totally.
And, you know, and are they a team that could just go out and play man? You know, no, they're not that type of team. They will do it at times, but, you know, they got to play that cover two a lot. Now, do they creep Harrison Smith down? Is he that kind of guy that's going to be in that box all game for Saquon? And kind of, you know, who do they use as a guy that kind of mirrors Daniel who could hurt you with his legs? You know?
Right.
He's a whole game within a game, man. It's going to be faster. So, you know, I think the Giants will mix it up more. I think they're going to get Saquon involved a little bit early. Throw it too, but not throw it as much as it came out last game. I think they're going to look to establish Saquon, and, you know, and mix it in a little. That's my opinion. They could come out and just throw it the first 10 times. We'll see what Dable does, you know.
Yeah.
I think though Dable and Kafka are sitting back saying, well, They probably thinking we're going to do that because that's their weakness. Let's do this, you know, and that's not getting cute. And if they stop it, they stop it. You adjust. That's what adjustments is all about. You know, we'll find out. That's what's great about it. And on the Vikings end, Jerry, they have the weapons to throw the ball, but they, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they adjust with Kevin O'Connell because they're hurting up front. You know, they have to stay out of third and longs. Because the Giants can get to the quarterback, especially when it's easy. Now, Giants have been getting to the quarterback. They've been getting precious. Excuse me. It'd be interesting to see if they feed Dalvin Cook a lot early in this game and try to really get him going.
He scares. Chris, as good as Justin Jefferson is, Dalvin Cook scares the hell out of me.
He should. He's a home run hitter. You know, and even Madison, a very physical guy. Madison's a good back, too, yeah. Man. I'll be curious to see if they try to really pound the rock. The Giants are not good against the run. So Kevin O'Connell might look at the Giants team and goes, hey, guys, you know what? Let them stop the run. They're going to keep feeding Dalvin Cook. Yeah. You know, our defense isn't really good, so let's keep their – imagine you would never think you'd hear this, but let's try to keep their offense and their air game off the field a little bit because our defense can't stop anybody. So we're going to run the ball and run the ball some. We'll see. It's going to be different, though. They're definitely going to be changing up from the last game.
And then it's going to be interesting to see how much time Jared Davis gets, right? We expect him to get snaps anyway, but if they're running the ball a lot, you would imagine he's playing more snaps, no?
Excuse me. Of course, the dog is barking.
It's a good part of the podcast, dude.
I don't even know why she's barking this time, but anyway, yeah, well, I expect Jared Davis to play. Yeah. I expect him. I think he's done enough.
Do you feel more comfortable with him against the run than the other two? Or then Smith?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would feel more if he was in there, more comfortable in there for McFadden. I do.
Yeah, and you know, I asked you that question about what the game plan is going to be because I'm fascinated by it. Because my bet is they're going to come out firing again. That's a gut feeling.
Yeah,
could be wrong.
Very well. Could be.
And I kind of want him to say, you know what, last game, that wasn't a fluke last time, guys. We do not trust your secondary. We have faith in our passing game. We're going to do the same exact thing now. Kafka, obviously the man, he's coached not even a full year first year offensive coordinator, and he's already getting requests from the Texans to get an interview for head coach. Like
two teams.
Right. Exactly. Another team as well. So
Carolina,
it's like, and that's like what we were talking about before, like this coaching staff is being recognized around the league as being a superior coaching staff. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how he comes out. And that's kind of why I asked you that question.
And how did you like Dable yesterday? Dable cracks me up, man. He's too much. But how did you like Dable when he kind of mentioned yesterday about Kafka, happy for him, all that. But did you hear what he said? He goes, you know, there's a playoff game this week. He understands. He understands that this is the task at hand, and that's, you know, down the road. Which, you know, Kafka does. But look, there's been times in this league where coaches have had playoff games and they've had interviews. And now he's not doing any interviews this week, but I think what Dave's was doing, he was making a point through the media too, to Kafka saying, you focus on this damn game. You know what I mean? We don't want to hear about this other bullshit, this other crap. And he's happy for him, don't get me wrong, but they don't have a bye week off where you could do an interview Friday and Saturday. Okay, now let's get to the game plan. You know, no.
Right.
No, there's a game in 3 days.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting with Dave.
It reminded me a little bit of look, he's probably gotten a lot from where he's coached, but it reminded me a little bit of a Belichick type of response. That's what it reminded me of. Not as with a little more emphasis on it than how Belichick would. Belichick would have kind of blew it off, but you would have known how serious he was. It just reminded me of that a little bit.
Yeah. This Dable is he cracks me up, man. He is funny, man. I think he was definitely sending a little bit, like, you know, not that he had to send it to Mike, but he was also using the media a little bit. So when Mike sees that, you know, like, no, I know that. I'm only focused on that. You must have make sure everybody's 100% focused on this game. Don't worry about no interviews and requests. Of course, you know, okay, yeah, it's great, but we don't give a crap about that. We got a game, you know? So this Dable is he is one sharp dude. I laugh with him all the time. Even yesterday, I was laughing with him about something, and I was like, dude, I just got him on the side. I was like, dude, you just cracked me up. You know, and he's like, and he's laughing with me. He knows exactly what I was talking about. He thinks before he answers, and he is, He's sharp. He's a sharp dude. I don't think there was any question he was doing that on purpose yesterday, just to make sure everybody's focused. Hey, Jerry, did I miss something, dude, last night? Did Wink get any requests yet?
I don't think he has, right?
I don't think he has.
There was a rumor that he would, but I didn't see a definitive one, Chris.
Man, that's surprising. I think he will, but unfortunately...
I thought he'd get requests before Kafka, actually.
I tell you, man, unfortunately for Wink, his age is going to work against him, but I'm sure he will get a few. I think it's stupid. I'm just a little surprised that nobody has put one in yet, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Lost my train of thought, buddy. I had another question and you brought up Wink, but this is what happens when you get older. Anything else you want to touch on with this game before we take a break?
Just a few things, bro.
Oh, you know what? There's my... I'm sorry, real quick, because it's going to leave my mind again. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Nick Gates' comment. Do you read anything into that? Do you think that'll be a thing?
I think Minnesota will use it to their advantage. I think they're going to be putting out there to their fans saying, hey, this guy doesn't think we're allowed.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt as well.
I kind of wish Nick didn't say that. Because you know that they're using that in Minnesota and papers and in Minnesota sports radio. I'm sure they're saying, hey, this guy doesn't think you people are allowed. You know, and look, the Giants would be using it, right? I mean, I don't blame them.
Absolutely, dude.
I don't blame them. So I think they're going to be even louder. It was pretty funny when Feliciano said, he goes, I don't know what Gates is talking about. Don't listen to Gates. He goes, and he's laughing. He goes, it was loud. He goes, they messed up some of our communication at times. Right. You know, so, you know, I kind of wish Nick didn't say that. I'm sure in Minnesota they're using that as a little motivation to get those fans even louder. It's loud, man. To get those fans even louder. There's going to be a lot more skulls going on now.
Yeah, and that's how I felt, too. It was like, please don't say anything else, guys. That's enough. Like, shouldn't have said it. It is what it is, but they're going to use it now, totally.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, look, sorry to go to hockey, but the Rangers used it a few years ago in the playoffs when the Capitals coach said it, and everyone's chanting, can you hear us, at the Garden. I was there for it. So they totally use it. I mean, of course, the Rangers lost, but they're still we still used it. So
every advantage, man.
Yeah.
You use every advantage this time of year, you know?
Yeah.
And an indoor stadium... I'm sure they're up there right now in Minnesota, those radio shows, man, talk shows saying, oh, who's this guy Gates saying that you got, you know, and they're going to be make it loud, you know, no question. No question about it.
All right. I know you had a couple more things to say. We're going to take a break and be right back after this. Hang on, guys, 1 second. And we're back, folks. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris, Nobody Beats the Biz, Biz Ignano, and Jerry Foley. What are the comments you have on this game, pal?
Yeah, just two quick things. You know, you can't have Danielle Hunter blowing up this game plan.
Right.
Okay, can't do it. Neil's got to step up. I'm sure they're going to get help for Evan at times, but you can't chip every play.
Right.
Especially, you know, when you're going 13, you know, when you're on 11 personnel, which the Giants like to do, you can't just chip every play.
Right.
All right? So Evan's going to have to hold up against Danielle Hunter. He has to play better. Za'Darius Smith is a guy they love to move around. They'll put him over left guard, center, right guard. He's a guy you got to account for, 10 sacks. We all know his resume. They did a pretty decent job of him the first game. Wasn't bad. You have to make sure he doesn't.
Did you think he was done when they signed him or no? Did you think he could still play? I'm just curious.
Oh, no. I thought that was a great sign by the Vikings.
Right. Yeah, it was almost like, I couldn't believe it happened. I couldn't believe the Packers let him go. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. I thought it was a great sign by the Vikings.
Yeah.
He had a real strong first half, 10 games. He's been a little quiet the last month or so, but he's still a very good player. You know, he's a guy that could get the quarterback, man. So you're going to have to account for him. You have to know where he is because Donatel moves him all over. Right. He tries to get that little mismatch. Smart coaching, you know, tries to get that mismatch.
Yep.
And the Giants going to have to tighten that up when it comes to him, you know. So, hey, and old friend Dalvin Thompson playing good football. You know, playing good football. So, excuse me. So, two active linebackers. And here's another thing with Barkley. Mm-hmm. I want to see they try to expose Hicks and Eric Kendricks with Saquon Barkley. They're not good cover linebackers at all.
Right.
They're not good cover linebackers at all.
Especially Hicks.
Let's see if we could get Saquon going and hurt them in the pass game, too.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, buddy, as always, man. We'll get to our predictions in a bit. But first, we'll get to questions. And, again, thanks, everybody, for responding. A lot of the questions you asked that I'm reading – or that I've read or about in a game plan, so we covered that. So I'm going to try to touch on the stuff we haven't talked about. I'll start off with a personal one, Chris, from Nick at Dynasty Dogs. Nick, Chris, how long would you give up golfing in exchange for the Giants to win the Super Bowl this year?
I'll give up the season.
Oh, look at that. There you go. That's very, very kind of you, Chris. Nice. That's quite a commitment.
That's quite a sacrifice.
It really is. Wow. Joe Shane's burner phone. When will everyone stop saying DJ is a great quarterback in Dable system and just say DJ is a great quarterback? Thank you guys for the great job you do. Thank you, Joe Shane's burner phone. Look, they go hand in hand, right? Daniel Jones obviously had the talent and good for, good. We got to credit him. Good for Gettleman for seeing it, but Dable put it together. So it kind of goes both ways, but yeah, he deserves all the accolades that he's getting this year, Daniel Jones. Absolutely. Eddie Lee. Again, not Geddy Lee.
Did we just see this guy? I was going to say.
Sounds like Geddy Lee. I said it, yeah. by the way, rest in peace, Jeff Beck, huh? Jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, if you were the Vikings coach for the Sunday game, what three weaknesses are you exploiting to get the win on Sunday? I would think run the ball on us, attack the slot corner, and use the screen game a lot. Eager to hear your thoughts. Well, we said one, right? We said they may go after us in the run game because we're not great against the run. What else do you see, Chris?
As far as their end attacking us?
Well, yeah. Where would you attack
us? I'm sure it's going to be the tight end again. Hockenson, and of course, they got the best receiver in football. You'd be stupid not targeting him left and right. But you got to watch out for a few things. KJ Osborne, they also got Irv Smith back now. So you got to be careful, man. They got a lot of weapons, man. They really do.
And Cousins will either throw for 350 or 110. So there you have it. Gordon Anderson, the one stat the Giants must have to win the game is? For me, it's turnovers.
Plus turnovers.
Not rethink this. James F., what's your top three plays of the season so far? I don't know three, but my favorite one. Well, look, the Thibodeau sack, fumble, touchdown is obviously an easy one. But I love Julian Love's, no pun intended, interception against the Ravens. And I love it because of Papa's call. Like, Papa lost his mind on that play. I love it. That has to be up there, if not one. And then another call, I'll go with one of Saquon's plays. I'll go with the two-point conversion in game one because it just felt like when that happened, you just felt a different vibe after that game was over. And that play kind of summarized that for me. Like, this is not the same old Giants right now, and we can do some things this year. So for those three for me.
Yeah, that two-pointer, man, that's one of my favorites, that two-pointer. Yeah. The stop, the Jacksonville game where they stopped Christian Kirk on the goal line last play. And that Thibodeau one, that's up there too, no question about it.
Yeah.
And a Thibodeau Thibodeau sack of Lamar Jackson too.
Oh, that's right.
When he stripped him too, man, that was another huge one, man.
Yep. And then there's the Green Bay game where they hit against Rodgers. So a lot of plays, man. It's nice to not be able to decide which Giant play was our favorite of the year, right? Like it's nice that we're up for debate now rather than just, oh, that one time where Saquon did something amazing and the rest of them sucked. You know, every other play sucked. So it's great. It's very nice. I'll ask this one, a little of a downer question, but I'll ask it. Roland at Eli 10 Hall of Fame. Hope it's not too late to ask. If Daniel goes out and has an absolute stinker of a game, does that change your perspective of signing him long term? Not mine. No.
Not mine either. No.
Not at all. Because then if he has a stinker, it could be because of all the other factors that have worked against him all year. Yeah. You know, so.
I remember when Eli Manning had a stinker in his first playoff game.
Ooh. That was 23-0. Oh,
they got shut out. I was there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, sucked.
Yep.
I wonder if we ever bumped into each other, Chris, at the game before we knew each other.
Yeah, right?
You're like, who's this idiot from Central Jersey?
No, Jerry, you would have been like, who's this? Trust me, you would have been like, who's this idiot with the New York accent screaming?
Telling each other to shut up. Stop yelling so loud. That's funny. Josh Stanton, Chris, Jerry, which scenario is most likely to happen? The world meets Danny playoffs. He shreds the Vikings before touchdowns. The D-line dominates and sacks Kirk Cousins five times. Kenny looks at Dave's and says, "This is my moment." Finishes 7 catches for 120. I'm eliminating 3, although I'd love it. Oh, hashtag best pod nation. Thank you. I'll go with the D-line. D-line dominating, basically exactly what we were saying before.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I would go with, too.
Would love the other ones. Absolutely love the other ones. We'll go with a couple more, and then we'll get to our picks. I'm down more this week after last week. Let's see. Matt Foreman, I'm going to ignore the one guy you asked, but I'll ask about the other one. Do you expect Hodgins outside going deep in this game? You think they'll take any deep shots down the field, Chris?
Yeah, I think they will. Probably with Darius.
His other guy was Kenny. Kenny Golladay. I'm like, I don't think they're taking deep shots with Kenny Golladay, guys. I don't see it.
I think if you see Golladay, it'll be in that red zone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hunt for 5. What was the first true instance this season that each of you knew this Giants team could actually make the playoffs? Hashtag playoff buffoon crew. Hashtag Jerry will win the pick segment next year.
For me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go.
You know, for me, it was that London coming back and that Raven win.
Yeah.
After they beat the Packers in London.
Yeah.
And then when they came home and they beat the Ravens. That's when I started saying to myself, holy crap, this could be a playoff team. You know, that's what I was like, oh my God, what, you know, I thought the Ravens were going to run them out of the building the following week. I really did. And I was like, after that, I was like, wow, you know, they could be onto something here. This could be a playoff team. And especially when you saw the way the NFC was shaping up. And I was like, man, that's what it was for me.
Yeah, the Ravens game for me. It was, the Packer game was great, and it's let's see how serious we are. And I think they were down 10 in that game. And it was it was a good run. It was a nice little run we had. Mm-hmm. And when they won that game, when Julian Love made that interception.
Ah,
and then
who else?
Right, exactly. Who else, right? And a Golden Domer. I mean, that's when you thought, man, can this team be in the playoffs? So that was probably the first instance I thought it. We'll go one more. Phil at Phil McGroin 3. What was more shocking this season? Jerry not getting destroyed by week 2 in the weekly pick segment against Chris? Or the Giants making the playoffs? Hashtag go big blue. Hashtag buffoon crew. I think even more than the first one, I think the Giants making the playoffs because we thought this was a 5-7 win team at best. So,
yeah.
Actually, you know what? I want to go one more, Chris, from Mr. Okay. Patel here at Patel USA. Do you see Jihad War coming back on a 1 or 2 year deal? I definitely think he's made the case to be back. Hashtag buffoon crew, hashtag our way.
I agree 100%. 100%. I would like to see him back. I think he's a good locker room guy. I think he's a nice rotating edge guy. For next year, I would like to see him back. I hope they do bring him back on another 1 year deal. But who knows? You know, he might go out and get a 3 year deal for somebody.
Yeah.
You don't know. That's what free agency is about. So we'll see.
Did you see him when they showed Golladay on the bench? He flipped the bird.
No, he's the funniest. You had to see yesterday what he was doing. He started blowing when we walked into the locker. We started blowing his introductory like this. Like here's the media. He starts yelling. He's out of his mind. He's a funny guy. He's just a funny dude. You know.
That's great. All right. Picks time, baby. Down 4 now. Was down 2. Now I'm down 4. I actually thought it was worse when I was watching the games. I was like, oh my God, I'm out. So I don't have, I don't have much time to catch back up before the Super Bowl. Down 4. Not disgusted with my performance this year. It's like, you know what? 4 games, I'll take that. But again, I'm still down. Saturday, 4:30, Chris.
Oh, wait a minute. We're going into the playoffs now with this thing?
Yeah, why not? I'm down 4. If I was up, I'd be like, we're done.
I thought it was regular season. Now, I'm down, so we got to go to the play. Okay.
Well, you know what it is also? I'm not down like 13 or 20, so there's a chance now. So we'll keep it interesting.
Gotcha.
And by the way, dude, this weekend is awesome with football. Some people don't like the Monday night game. I think it was ingenious. I love it. I love that there's games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's phenomenal.
Yep.
We'll start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Seahawks at Niners, 4:30, Chris. Who do you got?
49ers.
Yes. I think that's the one where it's like, almost a foregone conclusion. Stranger things have happened, but for me, I don't see a path to victory for the Seahawks here, man. 49ers as well. tomorrow night. Good game, dude. Chargers at Jags.
Not Saturday night.
Tomorrow night. I'm acting like it's Friday. I'm sorry, Chris. Saturday night.
I was just saying to myself, is he dropping this tomorrow? Is that what he's saying? I'm sorry. Chargers and Jags. Oh, I tell you what, this might be a little payback time for the Chargers, too. They got smoked by the Jaguars early in the year. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
This was a coin flip. I'm going to go with the Jags at home. That's it. I just believe more in Doug Peterson. Sunday at 1, Dolphins at Bills. I mean, again, kind of like the 49er game. I'm looking at this one like, forget it.
Especially when DeMar Hamlin goes walking out of the tunnel. I fully expect him to be at this game, either with the coin toss or something, man, or coming out of the tunnel. That crowd's going to be going crazy, and I don't think the Dolphins have a shot in this game. I really don't, dude. If they had Tua, they played really well up there a couple weeks ago, but with Skylar Thompson, the DeMar Hamlin's emotional, oh, forget about it. I think this is going to be the wipeout of the weekend.
Agree. 8:15 Sunday night, Ravens at your Bengals, Chris.
Yeah. It looks like Lamar's not even playing.
I know. It's crazy.
I like the Bengals, man.
Yeah, you have to go with the Bengals on this one. Monday night, dude, Cowboys at Bucks, and the Cowboys are favored at Bucks.
Yeah, right? I mean, the Cowboys have been the 2-3-point favorite, whatever it is, in Tampa. 3 points,
I think, right now.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Bucks, and I'm going to say that the Cowboys will become the Cowboys again, and all the Dallas fans in the country will put on their Yankees gear or their Lakers gear or whatever other team, front-running team they like. I'm going to go with the Bucks at home, buddy.
I don't have any. I know it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think next weekend will be the weekend they go back to being Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs.
Oh, okay, the second week, yeah.
I think next weekend's going to be the weekend they go and beat those Cowboys. This is a tough one. Back and forth with this one. I'm just not a believer in this Bucks team. But I'm not a believer in the Cowboys either, with Dak, who's throwing picks left and right. I know they got embarrassed last weekend. I think they come back with a little bit of a chip this week, and I think they do enough to beat Tampa, who is, what, they're 8-9. I'm going to go with Dallas in a close one. I just think they have the more talented team. Of course, Tampa Bay has the greatest of all time. Don't get me wrong. But I think Dallas does enough. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I'm going to give them a week until they go beat the Cowboys we expect in the playoffs. But I could be, no question, I could be wrong on this one. The game's in Tampa. It's Tom Brady still, bro.
I think it's another toss-up game, dude. You don't know which offense for the Bucks are going to show up, and then which team for Dallas is going to show up, right?
Yeah. I think Dallas will do enough to win this one.
All right. And finally, the most important game of the weekend, Giants get their second crack at Minnesota, dude. Yeah. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be -2 turnovers this time, especially in plus territory. I think the Giants are the ones that are going to get a couple of turnovers. They're going to get one, maybe two against Kirk. I definitely calling for one. This time the mistakes don't come back and bite the Giants, like the punts and all that stuff. Adoree looks like he might be back. We'll see. Xavier is definitely back. Okay,
that's huge.
Could be a little bit of an upgrade with Jared Davis next to Jalen. That could help. I like the Giants in this one, bro. I have confidence in the G-men. Going to Minnesota, they scored 24 last time with the turnovers. Should have had more, right? At least two more field goals. I'm going to go to get 28 this time. And they hold the Vikes because of a couple of turnovers. They hold them to 21. I got the Giants with a 28-21 win, and all eyes point towards Philadelphia a week later. That's the way I have it, bro. Go ahead. Go. What do you got?
Ooh, three times against the Eagles in 1 year, Chris. Wow. Listen, the only thing that makes me a little nervous is everyone likes the Giants, but that's just me being a buffoon and being superstitious. But
no, that makes me a little bit too. I agree with you.
That being said, I still like the Giants. I love the attitude of this team. I buy into the hype video, what Dable's preaching, that the Giants wanted a second crack at these guys, and now they have, you know, the cavalry coming back, right? You have McKinney will definitely be there, right? Maybe Adoree, a healthier Aziz. I actually like the Giants to score 30 for the second time in 3 weeks. I like the Giants 31-27. I don't know if it'll be like a 31-20 game and then the Vikings score late, but I like 31-27. It will end up being a close score. And the Giants, like you said, I get my heart medication ready as we go play Philly the following week. And look, then I think it's a little bit of house money, a little. I think the attitude should be going into that one. Let's take care of this one first. But the attitude in that one is, look, man, they're the number one seed. We weren't supposed to make the playoffs this year. And that's when I think you can buy into that and say, you know what, that's a good rallying cry. Let's do this. So, but this week, Chris, everything you said, great job. And I'm buying into it, 31-27. So
do you have it that close, or you just think the Vikes get a late touchdown? Or you think the Vikes have the ball in the hands at the end?
I don't think the Giants
go up like 31.
I think the Giants are ahead 31-20.
Gotcha.
And then the Vikings score late, and we get a little nervous, that kind of thing. I think the Giants will come out firing and, you know, go up to 31 points, whether it's 31-20 or what. But it'll be that score at one point, and then the Vikings might score late so to make it 31-27, like closer. Gotcha. So.
All right, so well, we both have the Giants getting out of a wild card weekend, man. You know, and heading to the divisional playoff, you know?
And it will be Philly because, like we said, I just don't see Seattle beating the 49ers, so.
No, but that's why you're playing. You don't know, man. Sure. And one thing we've learned from last year's playoffs, which were wild,
you just don't know.
I mean, look, do we expect Seattle to go? No. No way. But, you know, we'll see. That's why you're playing. So we have them go in a divisional playoff, which would be incredible. That's, you know, that's what we expect. Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Both teams are going to give different looks, and it'll be interesting, man. You know, it'll be interesting to see Daniel. It'll be interesting to see somebody. And let's not forget, this is Saquon Barkley's first playoff game, man.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, this is his first playoff game.
Yeah.
So he's going to be amped up. He's going to be fired up. You know, just a little quick story, Jerry. Yeah. So many times Dable's gotten Saquon in the film room, and Saquon ran for 2 yards, 3 yards. And I know, you know, and Dable goes, "You see that right there?" And Saquon will be like, "Yeah, no, you know, I saw it." And Dable will be like, I'm more proud of you when you got that 2 yard run than when you got that 15-yard run, say, early in the half or whatever it might have been, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Saquon, you know, when he first told me that, he goes, "Are you kidding me, coach?" You know, and Dable's like, no. Hey, it's not all about hitting home runs all the time, brother. He goes, when you get that 3-yard run, that helps us for the next play. When you lose 4 yards because you're trying to hit the home run, that destroys the drive. We're done. Now a second and 14 or third and 10, whatever the hell it might be.
Exactly right. Yep.
So Dable put it in his head. Like, take the 2-yarder. Don't worry about it. We're good with that.
Yep.
When we look at the film Monday and I see a gapping hole and you only got 2 yards because you took the wrong read, then I'll say, "Oh, well, Saquon, what are you looking at here? You had the A gap here, wide open. You ran the C on the right side. What the hell are you looking at?" He goes, "But no, when you don't have anything and you're pushing that and you get 2 yards or you're busting it up the inside zone run or gap run and you're getting a couple, that's what being a running back is about, you know." And Saquon, man, he's done that a lot this year. You know, he's done it a lot. They've done a lot of gap running more than any other time. Saquon has had more zone reads and gap his first 4 years. This year, he had like 40 more gap runs and zones. Interesting. Very interesting, you know.
I couldn't agree more with that sentiment, right? Like, you want third and manageable, and that's what that 2 or 3 yard run does on first down. It makes it sets you up for second down to where you have a couple options. You can run the ball again, right? And then it's a third and shorter, right? So it's instrumental what he's done, and he's kind of changed his running style. And it couldn't be happier with him. And he's another guy, Chris, that's bought in, right? No divas here on this team, right? No divas. I mean,
no divas.
I'm sorry to bring it up, but you just saw video of Odell, the way he acted on the plane. Do you think he's a good fit for this team, Chris? I got to ask. If I'm on that plane, first off, I didn't even know the story, right? But if I'm on that plane and somebody holds it up and then you got to deboard, come on, man. And then see what happened.
And then he's telling people you're fat ass and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, not a good look, Odell.
Like, Chris, hey, guys, thank you. Thank you, Odell, for validating everything I said a couple years ago about this guy. Like, whatever. But I'm just saying these guys have bought in, Chris. I didn't mean to bring up Odell, but these guys have bought in. That's all.
Yeah, no. There's no divas on this team, bro. There's no divas on this team. No question about it. It's all Divas.
Sorry.
So, hey, that's the way we have it. Enjoy, everybody. I expect to be talking Monday with Jerry about playing the Eagles after we review the game.
Yeah.
After we talk about the reasons why the Giants won, I expect to say, okay, we'll get ready because now it's Eagles week in the divisional playoff. I fully expect that, Jerry. I really do. Of course, we could be dead wrong. You know, this is why you play them. You know, I mean, the Vikes are not, you know, they're not a bunch of tomatoes out there, okay?
Right.
They're playing at home. They're playing in a very loud stadium, Nick.
Which will be louder now, yes.
You know, which is going to be louder now. Look, it would have been louder anyway because it's the playoffs. B, I'm sure Nick Giggs, I love Nick. You know, he didn't mean to do this, but, you know, I'm sure he gave him a little fuel now, you know, to drink a little bit longer before that 4:40 start, you know, 3:40, whatever the hell it is in Minnesota. You know, I'm sure he gave those fans a little bit more. They're going to be hitting even more. And from my understanding, it's going to be in the mid-30s there in Minnesota, which is like a heat wave for them in January.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in those parking lots even more, you know. So
yeah.
Going to be a lot of fun, man. I expect our boys to come out with the win and get ready for the divisional.
Yep. Good stuff, buddy. And have fun, everyone, because we are in the playoffs, baby. It is happening. Playoff Sunday, Giants football, man. Can't be happier about this team right now.
And Jerry, just quickly, if we can't do the podcast Monday afternoon because it's garbage bag day, that's not going to be good. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Just to let everybody know, that's garbage bag day is when everybody puts their stuff in bags and the off season has begun. You know, so could be Tuesday because they're playing in Minnesota late afternoon. But the point being, you know, is that, you know, if I'm talking garbage bags Monday or Sunday night or put it on Twitter, whew, that's not good. You don't want to see black garbage bags this time of year, folks.
Right. No, it's a good point. And it's a... poetic garbage bag day after you lose. I mean, what other day would you call it, right? Garbage bag day. It's unbelievable.
That's all you see is just tons of black garbage bags in the locker room. That you don't want to see.
Yep. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. Again, if we win, get a digital copy of The Insider Monday night. If we lose, which I don't want to talk about, regular edition print in a couple weeks. So, all right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everybody.
All right, enjoy. Bye-bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.